The Lord put a couple of thoughts in my mind this week at different times that I just kind of pondered on and even gave me a couple of examples. And I just want to kind of expound on that a little bit this morning. The first one has to do with why we blame God or get confused about God when things happen to us that don't go the way that we think they ought to go. We don't understand it. Things like bad health or sickness or even death. And, you know, you think of this family that lost these three kids just a few weeks ago in Thompson. Just those kind of things happen, and we don't understand why they happen or whatever. But we wonder a lot of times, at least I do, why they happen or why things happen to us that we're not quite sure about. And I know that you guys have done that before, haven't you? You ever wondered why something happened? Then I heard somebody make this comment this week about not understanding why things happen and that it caused them to question God. And that just triggered kind of a thought process in me to just kind of talk to God about it. Like, that wasn't the first time I've done that, and I'm sure it's not the first time that you've done that either. But he just walked me through a process, and I want to just walk with you, get you to walk with me this morning. He reminded me of some things first. And he said, I created everything. I know everything, and I'm in control. And he gave me several scriptures just that confirms that. Genesis 1:1, the very first one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And then 2 Chronicles 26, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Jeremiah 32:27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power, the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand is to make great and give strength to all. That's who he is. And that's just a few of the verses that talk about who he is. But he created everything and he knows everything. The second thing he did is he reminded me that he's good and that he has the best for each one of us. And he sent me to Psalms 41:9. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Mark 10:18, And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. James 1:17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Jeremiah 21:11, we use all the time, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then finally, Proverbs 3:5-6, Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So I ask you, if God is in control and his plans are good for me, why does bad things happen to me? You've never had that question, have you? I don't know that I have all the answers, but I'll tell you what I felt like he showed me. Yes, he creates all things. Yes, he knows all things. And he is in control, and he loves me and wants the best for me. But one of God's attributes, one of the things that he did when he created me, is he gave me free will. That sounds good, don't it? We like freedom. We like the fact that he has set us free. We like the fact that there's freedom in God. He did create us with his plan in mind, but he still left the door open for us to choose to believe him and walk with him, as well as deciding what part of our daily lives we submit and commit to him. See, maybe, at least sometimes I wish he hadn't given me quite that much freedom. Maybe I'd have walked in a little bit more victory if he had just kind of limited what I could do. But that wasn't who he made me. That wasn't how he made us. See, he didn't want robots. He created us. And he gave us that freedom to choose not only to accept him, to believe in him, but to make the daily choices that we walk in and what we do. But here's the thing. Not only did he create us, and not only did he give us the freedom to choose, he told us what to choose. You don't get it much better than that. It's like, I'm going to give you a test, but now here's the answers to the test before I give it to you. That's what he did. Deuteronomy 30:19, you all know this. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offsprings may live. Choose life. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He has created us, and he's given us the freedom to choose. And he said, listen, choose life. I will say, in my word, I will direct you. I will tell you what life is. I'll show you where to go, what to do, what not to do. I'll show you what to benefits you and what harms you. But choose life. Choose the right things. Do the right things. The first right thing is choosing him as Lord over our life. Okay? We recognize him. We recognize the fact that Jesus came down on the cross, and we accept him as our Lord and our Savior. But it goes further than that. The freedom that he gave us to choose allows us to choose what we eat, allows us to choose how we treat our bodies. I'm not stepping on your toes. I'm going to step on my own this morning because after I had done most of this, I went to bed Friday night, and all of a sudden, I started having this pain in my right big toe joint. And I knew what it was because I had it about 7 or 8 years ago. And it was gout trying to raise its head. And I was reminded that I haven't eaten very well lately. You know, so the things that you consume, and they'll give you the diet that you should eat to keep this in check, you know, and it ain't always fun. But my choices open the door for that thing to raise its head. My choices, and I wish I could say I have the perfect diet, but I don't. But my choices affect my health. We've been given the freedom to choose. And what we choose affects us. We have the freedom to choose everyday decisions of, do I drive the speed limit or I'm late and I need to go a little faster? This is all you eat buffet. I got to get my money's worth. But in making those choices, it affects us. Okay? It causes my health not to be where maybe it should be. Okay? If I don't exercise or whatever. You get my point this morning. The freedom that he's given us to choose has a lot to do with the things that happen to us. As tragic as it was, that 16-year-old boy pulled in front of that truck. It wasn't God. And I'm sure there's a lot of questions. Why? Why did this have to happen? It happened because of the freedom that that young man had to make a choice. And just like a lot of things happen in us because of the choices that we make. I'm thankful that God takes a lot of those choices and takes what was meant for evil and turns it into good. But there's a lot of times that the consequences of our choice become reality in our life. And it's not an easy thing. And it causes us to question God because we sometimes picture God as kind of our sugar daddy, if you will. You know? I need help on this test. Can you give me the answers? You know, instead of preparing for it, maybe so that you know the material or whatever it might be. We want to call on him when we get in a jam. We want to call on him when we need him, when we don't know what else to do. And he don't mind us doing that. But I'm saying there's a choice that he has given us that if we make right choices ahead of time, I think a lot of things that happen to us will not happen. I can't explain everything, and I don't say this is a total answer to it all. But I felt like the Lord said, wow, you know, that freedom that he's given us and the choices that we make affects our lives. He's given us the freedom to choose anxiety and fear or not to. But yet his word tells us, you don't want to do this. You don't have to do this. But lots of times we get in the situations that all of a sudden anxiety or fear comes on us. And I can tell when I get a little anxious about something, and even just going like to the doctor and they go to check my blood pressure because I'm a little anxious about it, my blood pressure's up. It's not a good thing. Okay? High blood pressure causes all kind of bad stuff. He gives us the choice to choose to forgive others. And if you've done much studying at all, you realize unforgiveness affects you. It affects your health. But in all his goodness, and all that goodness of giving us freedom to choose, that we say, yes, we have to choose to forgive. We have to make right choices. And neat thing about it is, he's given us the answers what to choose. I wish I could stand up here and say, I make all the right choices. But I don't. And that's the reason I kind of say, I wish he had kind of limited maybe my freedom a little bit. You know, hem me in, God. See, he's given us the freedom to choose him in every situation that we're in. To trust him, to believe him. We say it, we confess it, but sometimes we have a little difficulty walking it out. But you have to keep on, keep on. He tells us over and over what the benefits are when we make the right choices. And he also tells us over and over what the consequences are when we don't. Yes, thank goodness, he takes what was meant for evil and turns it into good. And yes, he tells us not to trust in our own ability and our own understanding, but to trust in his. But I want to just ask you this morning, do you do it to the fullest possibility? I don't. I'm working on it. He's teaching me, you know. But I think if we can get to that place more and more. And listen, and this, don't let this message be something that speaks failure, because that's not what it's about. Okay? There is victory in him. He loves us and he walks us through and he will take us and he will say, oh, that was not necessarily the right choice, but let's see if we can do something different. Okay? He is a good God. He's gooder than we know. His book is not a set of rules. Okay? Sometimes people look at the Bible and think, oh, it's just a set of rules. It's a set of guides for our lives. He says, here it is. I'm laying it out before you. Make the right choice. Make the right choice. So I encourage you this morning, choose wisely. You've been given the gift of freedom to choose. Use it wisely and choose wisely. The second thing that he, little bit different, but kind of ties into it, that for some reason it just kind of, one of those things that caught my attention and I just began to ponder on it and talk to him about it. And it has to do with his presence. Cindy and some ladies got together this week and had a little prayer time, and she just talked about how, man, the presence of the Lord just fell in this place. And that's a good thing. You've been in those situations, haven't you? Where you just sense the presence of God stronger than maybe other times. A lot of times we make this comment when we've been somewhere like that, that God's presence showed up in our meeting today. Woo, all right. What do you mean? Our God's presence fell on our prayer time. And it happens, but just stay with me this morning. So I got to thinking, is his presence something he gives at times and takes away at times? No. I don't think so. He showed this in the strangest way to me this week. I was working on a little job and I had put a door in for a couple that was a quite expensive door. I think it's made out of mahogany. Where's Brandon's? Anyway, it was one of those that you don't want to make a wrong move, don't want to make a wrong cut or whatever, you know. And anyway, got the door in and the door didn't cover where the hardwood floor was quite enough. It wasn't quite wide enough so you could see the end of the boards. And they wanted me to go back and take a piece of that mahogany that was left over and cut a little strip kind of go on the threshold. Well, I didn't know how much was left over. I wasn't sure. I knew that there was a little piece that we had. Didn't know how big a piece I was going to need. And when I got the piece, I'm thinking, whoo, I hope this is long enough. And I got over there and I measured the door. I needed 61 and a half inches long. And I took and I measured that piece of board, and it measured 61 and a half inches long. I mean, it could have been, I could have made a bad cut and cut another quarter inch off something, but I didn't even have to cut it. All I had to do was rip it. And through that, the Lord showed me, he just said, see, my presence is with you. Even in this. He's with us all the time, guys. Yes, there are times that we sense it more. And I think that really has to do with where we are and what's going on. I know there's been times that I have felt his presence so tangible. You know, it's just, even this morning, you know, was one of those times during worship. But it's also been those times that I've, God, where are you? I need a board stretcher. You know? But see, his presence doesn't change. It doesn't change. Usually what happens, it's the situation we're in or the state of mind that we're in that we don't perceive it. Because here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now let me ask you this. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, is the presence also there? I think so. Somebody a lot smarter than me might can put a different twist on it. 2 Timothy 1:4 says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasures which has been entrusted to you. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If he's dwelling in me, guess where his presence is? His presence is not something that I have to go into a meeting to find. Now, going into a certain meeting or going into a worship service may help focus me to sense his presence more. But his presence is with us. See, I think a lot of times us discerning that presence and discerning whether he's there, which he is, tell you he is, okay, has to do with the state of mind that we're in and where our focus is. And if we can put our focus on the fact, if we can remind ourselves that, listen, he's dwelling in me, his presence is with me, and remind yourself that, hey, okay, God, where are you? I'm here. Okay? He's here. He didn't look at it and just kind of pick and choose and say, okay, Donnie, you didn't do this morning, so I'm not going to keep my presence with you. That's not who he is. His presence is with us. And we just got to tune ourselves to that. Again, it's making a choice of making yourself think and realize that God is with you. His presence is with you. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to call it down. I just don't believe that he picks and chooses when he reveals it. If anybody picks and chooses it, I think it's probably more of us. It has to do with our attitude and what we're thinking and those kind of things. A couple more scriptures. Hebrews 13:5. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't He promised you, I will never leave you alone, nor neither, and I will not lose my grip on your life? Don't you like the way that puts it? He doesn't leave us. His presence is always with us. He will not lose His grip on our life, even though sometimes we fight like the crazy to get out of His grip. Matthew 28:20. And teach me to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. And those are just a few scriptures that confirm to us that He is with us. Okay. He promises His presence to us all the time, every minute of every day. So the next time, if you're kind of wondering, God, where are you? Okay. Kind of shake yourself. Get your bearings and realize that God says, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. Psalms 119:105 says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. He is right there to walk you through, walk you down the path. He's a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. See, again, He made us individuals, got a plan for us. He knitted us together. He didn't make us robots. Because He didn't want robots. He wanted somebody that would look at Him and see how good He is and love Him. He wants our love as much as we want His. And that's why He created us, is to be in that relationship with Him. We have the choice in that freedom that He's given us to choose to recognize and know that His presence is with us 24/7. He's there. And then finally, in Joshua 24:15, it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. That seems kind of foreign. Okay? Whether it's the gods of your job, whether it's the gods of the things that you have to do every day, family, relationships, that kind of thing. Choose you, He's saying. Choose you this day. Choose Him. Let Him come in. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have been given the freedom to make that choice. You have been given the freedom to walk in the, what's the word am I looking for? Walk in the awareness of His presence every day. Because His presence is there. Choose life. Choose His presence. Let Him reveal Himself to you. That's all He wants. But He wants that out of your will. He wants that as your choice and not His pushing on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you love us so much. And we do thank you, Lord, that you've given us free will to choose. And we thank you, Lord, that you have even given us the guides to what to choose and what not to choose. And Lord, for myself, I just pray that you'd help me to be aware. Help me to make those choices. Help me not to be distracted from what you desire me to do because of maybe my own desires or maybe the desires of others. Lord, I confess it's not easy. Should be, but it's not easy. And I guess that's just the old man that keeps wanting to raise his head. But I thank you that your word says we're new creations. That you renew our mind, Lord. Lord, help me to be aware of your presence every minute of every day. Lord, we love you and we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Let me just ask you guys to be praying for Cindy and I and another lady that's going to be going to Haiti tomorrow. Haiti's been having some issues, but at this point we don't feel like the Lord has told us not to go. So we're going to head out in the morning. We'll be there and be coming back Saturday. So if the Lord puts us on your heart, pray for us, if you will.